KCO, 1230 AM, W255 DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Just hours before his self-imposed midnight tariff deadline, President Trump upped the ante in the global trade war. Correspondent Jared Hill.
With a new executive order, higher tariffs will kick in on Thursday for dozens of nations that have yet to strike a new trade agreement with the U.S., arguing trade deficits pose an unusual and extraordinary threat to national security, a claim a number of small businesses are challenging in the courts. New tariffs on Mexico and China on hold, but Canada caught in the crosshairs. The White House hiking levies to 35% on goods not covered under the existing U.S., Mexico, and Canada trade deal.
This morning, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney said he was disappointed in the president's decision. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
So what is this chaos? Our businesses, our small businesses, our medium-sized businesses, our large businesses need some degree of certainty.
The July jobs report is out later this morning, and it's expected to show the labor market slowing to a crawl. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
It is expected that job creation totaled around 100 to maybe 120,000 jobs during the month, though some are saying it could be as low as 50,000 jobs. That would be a slowdown from the June reading of 147,000 jobs.
Heavy rain swamped parts of the Northeast yesterday. Rain poured into a subway station in Philadelphia. A 13-year-old boy in Maryland drowned after he was washed into a drainage pipe outside an apartment complex. This driver near Baltimore was stranded in flash flooding.
I've never seen it like this before. Once I came across that railroad track and got here, I figured I could keep going, but I couldn't.
A driver in New York City swam out of a partially submerged semi-truck. Train service came to a halt. Thousands of flights were canceled or delayed. 28-year-old teacher Andrew McGann's been charged with two counts of capital murder in Arkansas after confessing to stabbing a couple to death at Devil's Den State Park, where they'd been walking with their two young daughters. State Police Colonel Mike Hager.
We do believe he acted alone. We have absolutely no reason to believe that there's anyone else involved, and we do not anticipate any future arrest or any other arrest beyond this suspect.
Justin Timberlake says he's been performing under adverse health conditions.
Don't be so quick to walk away.
He says he's been diagnosed with Lyme disease and it's caused a massive amount of nerve pain, as well as what he calls crazy fatigue and sickness. Dow futures are down 414. S&P futures off 62. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers arrived in the nation's capital to face the Nationals tonight, part of a three-game weekend series. Milwaukee holding on to first place, one game ahead of the Cubs. The Brewers 20 games above 500, a .593 winning percentage. And as a division leader, that's the lowest ever heading into the month of August in Major League history. NFL, the Packers ready to go under the lights tomorrow night inside Lambeau Field for family night. What makes it so special? Tucker Kraft.
It's just the crazy part about Lambeau in itself is it's just this huge, glorious legacy stadium in a neighborhood. All the people of Green Bay, lucky 80,000, get to come pack the stadium out and just watch us practice. And it's not just an ordinary thing. It might be the only time some of those people get to get inside the stadium. And then the family aspect at the end of it, getting to go down the field. This year I'll be able to have my own daughter and my wife out there with me.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires here this afternoon. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the 50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 47.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off taking the best Wisconsin Northwoods has to offer. We've got you covered everywhere in the state. Enjoy highlights from recent shows and don't miss your chance to win tickets to see the Red Hot Brewers with Free Ticket Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me. It is Thursday, Christmas Eve of weekdays. Conrad Krieger working the board. He hates soup, but we still like him. We just don't trust him. And I think that comes with the territory. If you're just joining us, we had a great hour number one. We talked about the fact that on my LinkedIn profile, I put wannabe crooner as a joke, and LinkedIn is now trying to find me singing gigs. And listen, I'll take one. I'm not beyond that. We our question of the night, because of Conrad's hatred for soup, we decided to just go all out here. It's a two-parter. One, what is wrong with Conrad? And two, what is your least favorite soup? I say cream of mushroom. We've had a lot of broccoli dislike so far. Through the text line, Conrad does not like any soup except broccoli cheese, which you could argue isn't necessarily even really a soup. But we also talked to Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska, who is still on the line. He's agreed to stick around for a few more minutes and talk a little bit about his area of expertise. Although, Jim, you do know quite
broccoli
a bit about...
Broccoli cheese isn't a soup. Broccoli cheese is a dip. So you dip other things into it. Yes. That's what broccoli cheese is.
You dip other soups into it, and then you make a whole big mess.
It's actually one of my favorite ones when you have like fresh baked bread to dip into. It's a great bread bowl soup is what it is.
Yeah.
Again, it's a dip. It's a condiment almost. It's not really a soup. So,
Jim, you have to. If I were you, Jim. Speaking of condiments, we had the curator of the National Mustard Museum on the show last night because National Mustard Day is August 2nd. That guy was more fun than I ever thought he would be. And I've never met someone with so much love and passion for a condiment. It was a beautiful thing. All right. So thanks for sticking around, Jim, and helping us kick off hour number two here. Let's, what else are you watching? Anything before we get to sports? You said Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah. And... Happy Gilmore 2 is kind of, it's going to be polarizing because as a standalone, like just as a movie,
yeah,
honestly, it's not great. It's kind of a mess. But as someone who watched the original and enjoyed it as a, you know, teenager, 20 something, whatever, it's a love letter for those people who were alive and enjoyed the original, or maybe people who've caught the original since then. That's all the movie is. It's literally just taking you back in time. It's a nostalgia trip with tons of cameos, lots of fun. A lot of cameos, a lot of actual flashbacks to the first movie. You know, some tributes tucked away in there. That's what it is. It's less of a standalone, like you got to go see this movie, probably why it's direct to streaming and not in a theater. And more again of a fan service for those of us who enjoyed the first one and who are around for that. So.
Well, there's no bigger Happy Gilmore fan than the K-Man. He might
yeah.
All of his hatred for soup he channels into his love of Adam Sandler. So weigh in here, buddy.
Yeah, Jim, what'd you think of the Maxi Golf League? Did you like that little concept?
So the back half of the movie really struggled, and that was a big part of it. It just felt like it was unnecessary and over the top. What was brilliant, I thought, about the first Happy Gilmore movie, as goofy as it was that it was somewhat plausible having someone come onto a tour with a little bit of personality and a super long drive. Like, you start seeing the personalities emerge a little bit, even in modern day golf, where people try to stand out. But that was a little more plausible than what they were trying to do in this one. And I felt like maybe it was just a thread that once they had burned through all the nostalgia, like, well, we need something to hook people. How over the top can we get? How can we have big colors and explosions and things and draw people in that way? And I think that for me is where it kind of got lost, because it wasn't like that way in the original. And I thought the original, the brilliance of it was that it was somewhat plausible that you would get a hot shot guy coming in who had played hockey and then hits in a fist fight with Bob Barker. To me, that felt realistic.
I love that you use the word plausibility and Happy Gilmore in the same paragraph. All right, so let's talk sports, Jim. Conrad and I have been talking back and forth. I'm a Cub fan. He's a Brewer fan, obviously. And I said, you know, the Cubs for a very short time had the best record in baseball. They've been fairly consistent. The Brewers are on a hot streak like I haven't seen in a while. And I thought, I don't think they can sustain that. Well, I said that 2 weeks ago, and here they are. What do you think is going to happen down the stretch in this little rivalry we have?
I think people are looking a lot into what happened today at the trade deadline and panicking a bit that there wasn't more done for either team, the Cubs or the Brewers. But you look at what the Brewers had done. They already made their big trades. They just did it, you know, ahead of the trade deadline. I mean, they're getting in Quinn Priester, getting in Andrew Vaughn ahead of all of this. They've already made their big deals. And the stuff they did today was more, you know, like roster flexibility. They have an injury with Jackson Chourios, so they picked up a 28-year-old outfielder, kind of bridged that gap for a bit. Got a couple of pitchers who are banged up right now, took on a bit of salary for that, for some depth. But, you know, the Cubs grabbed a utility infielder from the Minnesota Twins fire sale today. So I feel like both teams felt good about where they're at, because, again, their records are among the best in baseball. So you feel pretty good about where you're at. You don't need to blow things up necessarily. Surely there's some weaknesses they might have looked to shore up, but you look ahead, the Brewers have a very difficult remaining schedule. They still have to play the Cubs again later on. I think the Brewers have one of like the five or six most difficult remaining schedules to go. So I think that the race down the stretch between the Cubs and Brewers will be absolutely fascinating to watch, given how difficult the Brewers' schedule is and how the Cubs came into the year and came into the trade deadline for a lot of people with what many consider to be the top roster in all of baseball. So jeez. I feel like where we're heading with both teams is a good place. I think both teams are clearly headed for postseason, but the trade deadline today is probably frustrating to people who wanted to see more done.
Right. Great point. It's interesting. Like you just said, two of the best records in baseball, and now we switch over to the NFC North. If we can get a couple minutes of Packer talk in here before we let you go. That's a tough division in football. One of the best, if not the best. So what do you see moving ahead? What do you hear out of Packers training camp, or do you have a prediction as to how you think they'll do?
Well, first of all, here at Civic Media, we're collecting our NFC North radio affiliations like Infinity Stones right now. So because we now have a Packers, Vikings, and we just acquired a Lions affiliate. So began our NFL coverage on current or soon to be Civic stations tonight, because Detroit is playing right now against San Diego in the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, yeah.
So the NFL season is happening like right now, preseason anyway, which is practice. Next week, the Packers and Vikings will join in on it. The Packers will get it going. I think the most interesting thing about the Packers to me is that at the outside skill positions, receiver and cornerback, there's a lot of uncertainty, as there has been for the last few years. And to the point they've even switched, you know, Bo Melton to play defensive back, but now he's shining on special teams. And does the team use a roster spot on a guy who's going to play special teams? That's a converted receiver. What do they do with guys like Matthew Golden, who's come out of kind of out of nowhere and is blowing up training camp and not getting a lot of attention in the press, but fans are certainly noticing him. Like, those are the positions where there's a lot of question marks. And honestly, I feel like it's been for the last couple of years, the Packers will be just fine, because the guys they have are all pretty good. There's not a number one top upper level guy that they're throwing money at. They traded Jair Alexander out, or they got, you know, right, cut him and let him go. So, you know, that part of it's out the window. Jair didn't play much last year. So I feel like the Packers will be just fine. And that might be the area of concern. I think one of the underrated thing about the Packers this year, this will be my last thought for the Packers part of it, is the offensive line. They just signed Zach Tom, dude. That's a big, huge deal to play right tackle. They have Elgton Jenkins playing center now, and he's trying to get a new contract as well. But their offensive line is quietly pretty solid, I think, going in. And that's going to help with another year of Jordan Love, another year with a great running back in Josh Jacobs. Offense feels pretty good. Defense is very young and athletic, and that's something the Packers have been striving to. It's kind of like what the Milwaukee Bucks did this offseason. They got a lot younger. The Packers have been one of the youngest teams in the NFL. I think this will be the third straight year they'll be the youngest team in the NFL. Wow. When they open up the season. The last few years they have been, and they should be pretty close when they finalize the 53 this year. They should be pretty close to that. So youth is the word, and the Packers are right there with the best of them.
Wow, goodness, that was great, Jim. Great answer. Buddy, thank you so much for your time. You're a great dad. You know a ton about sports and movies, and you're a great all-around guy. Almost Famous is Jimmy Cuska's popcorn pick of the week, and a great one. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Jim.
All right, I got to go back to watching K-pop Demon Hunters another 4,000 times before the end of the weekend.
Get
so
those songs in your head. You could do worse. All right, buddy. That's Jimmy Cuska. Are you a fan of K-pop, Con?
No.
Why?
It's not my music taste, you know?
Yeah, what is your music? You like hip-hop, right?
Yeah, hip-hop, and country.
Okay.
Not soup, though.
And you hate soup. Let's get to some texts. We've had some great texts here tonight. Our question again, folks, if you want to be part of the show, it's always more fun that way, it's a two-parter. Conrad hates soup. Part one, what is the matter with Conrad? Part two, what is your least favorite soup? Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, that's the 608. He says, his phone is the 608. He says, Curly of the Three Stooges also had a soup phobia after his run with a bowl of clam chowder that bites back. I forgot about that. Something similar may have happened to Calvin. Oh, man. Conrad, you're taking some heat tonight.
Yeah.
I know you and Dave are both lovers, but I see a throwdown, and I don't know, maybe Tyler's. I'm sure he meant Conrad. Or maybe he meant Calvin. What do I know?
Calvin might hate soup as well.
He's going after all the producers. Terry in Wausau, he's in the 715, says, I have a friend that lost his taste when he drank a flaming shot of Lopnow's at Lopnow's bar in Wausau. He eventually regained the sense after a couple weeks. All right, so maybe that's what happened to you. It just never came back.
No, it definitely did, because there's food that I love, you know?
All right. Thank you, Terry. Barb from Waukesha, she's in the 262. Any tomato-based soups like minestrone? Yeah, you know what? It's interesting, Barb. I'm kind of there with you. As I get older, I don't like the tomato. I don't like the acidic soups. Love a good tortilla soup, though. If there's a little tomato in that, it doesn't bother me. 608 says, I think I understand Conrad's soup aversion. My mom used to pressure cook vegetables to the point someone could... My mom used to pressure cook vegetables to the point someone could gum them who didn't have teeth. I hate split pea soup. I make German cabbage and potato soup, and the cabbage stays crunchy. Conrad just needs to try something that's not canned. Could that be it?
I've tried soups that aren't canned as well.
Do you like soups that you can just gum?
No.
Oh, that's funny. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I agree with Conrad. The cheese broccoli soup is great. My least favorite soup is French onion. It does feel like when you eat French onion, it feels like you're just spooning liquid salt sometimes. I'm kind of with you. Although I do like the little biscuit they give you or the little baguette. No, it's like a Parmesan toast, something that they give you with
usually like French onion. You have that sandwich with what meat in it?
Pastrami.
Pastrami.
Yeah, or what do you call it? The Irish corned beef. Corned beef? Pastrami? One of the two. Everett from Sun Prairie says, hey, folks, first of all, there's nothing wrong with Conrad. Some people are just weird about food. He says, there's nothing weird about you, and then calls you weird. Second, all soups are great if you make them yourself and you know what you're doing. I cooked professionally for many years and have made some very strange soups. Some good, some not so much. But it's a good practice to get into. Having said that, hot oysters are an abomination. That would not stop me from trying an oyster stew made by a trusted chef, though. Broccoli cheese soup can be good, but the worst is the nasty hot well sandwich chain spliz.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that.
I haven't heard of that either. We need clarification, 262, from a bag you can find anywhere. It's reminiscent of puke. Yeah, you don't want whatever soup that is. That sounds awful. All right, ladies and gentlemen, our Civic Media All-Star Show continues. In just a couple of minutes, our pal Greg Bach will be here. He is the co-host of Matt Nair on Air and a very funny comedian. He's insightful, he's funny, and he is volatile. So beware. Greg's fun. He's coming up next. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had 6 times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting nationalguard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Let's go Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a 4-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday. On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. What is wrong with Conrad? Why does he hate soup? And what is your least favorite kind of soup? Those are our, that's our two-part question tonight. Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Or text us on the stream if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X. X Twitter, that is, and or the app. It'd be great to hear from you. Be part of the show. We'll read your text on the radio. Always fun when you guys participate. All right, so I'm excited to welcome this next guest. He's been on the show a few times before. He is one half of the dynamic co-hosting duo of Matt Nair on Air. He's a comedian, and he's a pretty solid human being. I haven't found a chink in the armor yet, but maybe we'll uncover that as the evening goes on. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Greg Bach joins Nightlight. Hey, buddy.
Hello, everyone. Oh, that sounds terrible, doesn't it?
No, you sound good, dude.
Oh, I do? Okay. Yeah. I'm hearing myself through the, it's just, okay. As long as it sounds good to you and the people out there in radio land, I'm fine.
Listen, I think we're okay. I think you sound good. You look good. The house looks great.
thanks. You like my CPAP machine right here? There you go. All right.
What is that? Really?
That's a CPAP. Yep. I started using the CPAP here a couple months ago. It's what I put on my face every night.
It's for sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. How's that working out for you?
Oh my God, Pete. It's a life changer.
Getting better sleep?
Oh, absolutely. From the first night, I've been using it about 3 months now, and it has changed my life. It's a life-changing experience. So if I'm a huge proponent of, what do they call it? An evangelist for this little mechanism. Nice. If you think you need one, try it. It will, like I said, change your life.
I see an endorsement in your future. I think you could make a little scratch off that,
I see a custom made model called the GPAP is what I see.
The GBAC.
Yep.
I love
G-bop,
it.
GBOX CPAP. All right.
It's great to have you, Greg. It's been a little while since we've chatted. I think I was on your show last, since the time before when you've been on my show. I want to ask you, I was listening to you guys today. You and Jane are so great. You just finished a tour of the state with our best friend, Todd Alba. How did that go?
It was fantastic. We had a great time. I mean, we talk about these places all the time on the show, trying to reach people, have good conversations, find out what's going on, what's concerning people in Northwoods, Northwestern Wisconsin, so on. And you mention these places, these cities, these towns, but when you go there and you meet the people, it changes everything about your perception.
Yeah.
And going to the Northwoods and talking to folks who are just, you know, regular everyday folks, just like we are down in the big cities of Southeastern Wisconsin, I had a blast, and I had two great roadmates in Jane and Todd. So it couldn't have been more fun.
I can't even imagine. That's great. And did you, when you're traveling around like that, like, did you ever work the road as a comedian, or were you kind of always Milwaukee based? Okay.
I did road work. I never did months on the road or, you know, did big long stints, but I mean, I've got the car and traveled 16 hours for a weekend and,
and that's when you decided
Colorado is not as beautiful as they think it is. So some of it's real boring.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. I was surprised the first time I drove through Colorado, it takes you a while to get to the Mile High part of it. Right. It's very grass. Yeah. It's like grassland, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it was fun. It was fun to listen to the show. You guys also do a segment I love called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. What have been some of your favorite snippets of that?
Got me on the spot here. Well, we did, my God, I had to go back. I mean, there are just times where Jane and I are just cracking up, and I'm trying to think about all of them, but
you should just do a montage.
Take your
time.
Well, it's like asking you to pick my favorite children. There's like 40 of them. I don't know.
You have 40 favorite children?
Just 40 favorite. I have like 78 children, but only 40 of them are worth anything to me. 20 of them have jobs.
Working the road. Yeah. You don't know what happens out there.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So who do you guys have coming up that you're excited about?
Oh, well, I mean, we have our regulars coming up. I always love talking to. We have Darren Von Ruden next week on Wednesday. He comes on the show once a month, the first Wednesday of the month, and he gives us the lowdown of what's happening in the farming community. He's the president of the Farmers Union of Wisconsin. And, you know, there's a lot going on in the farming world. The you know, federal state government impacts them so deeply. And we think, and Pat talks to Hans Breitenmoser as well. And we talk to Pam Yonke, who's the host of the Midwest Farm Report. And until you really talk to farmers and understand what they're going through, it's like, you know, unfortunately and shamefully, we don't think about farmers a whole lot. And when you talk to them and realize what they do, what they provide, and what they put up with to do their job, it's, you know, we should be giving them all the money all the time. Let them do their work. Okay, buy them a new piece of equipment. That's for you, for just being a farmer, being amazing.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great point. You know, all right. We've got to do, when we come back, Greg, I want to ask, I've got some fun questions for you regarding movies, comedians, that kind of stuff. But before we go, you, I think, posted about Ozzy Osbourne when he died last week. You seem like you're a fan. I wasn't really into Black Sabbath when I was younger, and I could take or leave the Osbourne show. Do you find when someone iconic dies that you weren't a fan of, and you have to read all the stuff on social media, do you feel left out? Because I do.
It depends on who they are. If they're someone who is genuinely a good person and made good art or did a good thing, then they're not my jam. I just feel bad for the fans. I feel bad for the family. If it's someone I don't particularly enjoy, I'm like, man, we could just, can we just Can we all just be quiet about it? Can we just mourn in silence and just, yeah, great. I understand. They were amazing. But, you know, no, I it depends on who the person is what my reaction will
right.
be.
Right. I think you were getting at Hulk Hogan there, but we'll have more with
no, me. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of the man. I've never heard of that guy at all. Oh. I guess he's a true American or whatever.
Greg Bach is here, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have more with Greg after the news and lots of fun still to come on Nightlight. Great to have you with me. You've got the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Hours before new global tariffs were set to kick in, President Trump upped the ante with a new three-tiered plan for next Thursday. CBS's Jared Hill.
One of the things we're watching for, obviously, is how much these tariffs will raise prices for American shoppers. Some things like furniture and computers are already more expensive.
Economists like Diane Swank keeping an eye out for the number of new jobs created when the Labor Department releases the July report this morning.
We're expecting something a little north of 100,000. That's still not spectacular. But we don't need as many to create as many jobs to keep the unemployment rate down.
Deadly flooding in the Northeast. A 13-year-old boy in Maryland drowned after he was washed into a drainage pipe. This man hoped for the best in northern New Jersey.
I'm never going to leave. I just sit on a porch, grab my beer and sit and wait for it to go down. It's the only thing you can do. Just make sure everybody's safe on the street.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers arrived in the nation's capital to face the Nationals tonight, part of a three-game weekend series. Milwaukee holding on to first place, one game ahead of the Cubs. The Brewers 20 games above 500, a .593 winning percentage. And as a division leader, that's the lowest ever heading into the month of August in Major League history. NFL, the Packers ready to go under the lights tomorrow night inside Lambeau Field for family night. What makes it so special? Tucker Kraft.
It's just the crazy part about Lambeau in itself is it's just this huge, glorious legacy stadium in a neighborhood. All the people of Green Bay, lucky 80,000, get to come pack the stadium out and just watch us practice. And it's not just an ordinary thing. It might be the only time some of those people get to get inside the stadium. And then the family aspect at the end of it, getting to go down the field. This year I'll be able to have my own daughter and my wife out there with me.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When it comes to TV or movies, there is nothing like momentum. The Gilded Age is currently in its third season, and all arrows are pointing up. The show is tracking 25% more than its previous season and still has two episodes left of season three. HBO has already renewed the show for a fourth season. Social media chatter is up 60%, and Rotten Tomatoes has season three at 95% fresh. If all that weren't enough, last week's episode reached a series high in viewers at 4.5 million in the first 3 days of release. Looks like we have no excuse now not to check it out. If you're a fan of the show Luther with Idris Elba or the original version of The Office with Ricky Gervais, you'll have another option for viewing. HBO and BritBox, which specializes in UK mysteries, comedies, and dramas, have struck a deal where HBO will stream 15 BritBox shows during the months of August and September. The goal of both companies? Get so many viewers they can charge as much as Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires here this afternoon. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the 50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 47.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mommy, can I ask a
sit in the front seat. Just this one time. Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Great Wisconsin State Fair is underway. Join us for Audio Sorbet, your favorite state fair memories. That's all coming up. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Tomorrow night on the show, artist Spencer Young is in the studio. He is going to paint, Conrad, I think I told you this, he's going to paint an actual couch potato. So I think we have that to look forward to. It'll be fun to meet Spencer for the first time. And it's a bar band Friday night. Our Wisconsin music expert, Terry Barr, will be here talking about local awesome bands that she brings every week. Right now, my guest is Greg Bach. He is one half of the outstanding duo of Matinair on Air. If you're watching on the stream, you can see Greg as I can.
Hi.
It's like you're in the room, Greg. We have a great text here for Greg. Pete, shout out to Greg. This is from Carmella. She's in the 414, as is Greg. Pete, shout out to Greg. Love him. Civic Media is killing me tonight. I just left the Tosa Library and heard Jim Santel. He's still talking, but she left.
Yeah.
He says, I had to be somewhere by 7:30, so I left. He's such a great speaker. Then I get in my car and hear you, Pete, say my guy Greg is a guest. I will listen on the app later. Here is where Greg plugs the app for free. Teehee. Loves you a long time, Carmella. I think most of that was meant for you, pal.
Well, I appreciate that. We absolutely love Carmella. And shout out to the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free.
Dynamite.
Yeah, Jim Chantel, that's another guest we have on our show weekly on Thursdays. And he just, you know, a former U.S. attorney,
yeah,
practicing attorney, advocate, bringer of good things, you know, explainer of good justice and good works, and can make the most complex cases digestible, even for guys like me who barely got out of high school. So, yeah, it's... Thank you very much, Carmella. I always love hearing from you, and we appreciate you listening via the radio or the Civic Media app.
Which is free, as I understand?
Absolutely free.
Okay. Greg, you are also a comedy club owner, probably because you got sick of driving 16 hours to Colorado. I totally understand that. What is going on? I know the Laughing Tap in Milwaukee moved or is about to move. What's going on there? Do you like your new space? And who's coming up?
Well, honestly, that's where it's kind of we are finalizing all the information of the new space. Can't announce the exact location, but it will be in Milwaukee, of course.
Okay.
And we're looking forward to bringing the good news and really getting people in there immediately, because it's coming up to fall. Like we're not going to, I mean, it's state fair's here. That means summer's over. People put down your shorts and get on your woolly pants. Here comes fall.
Right.
But yeah, we want to get ready for the fall season. We're getting ready for the comedy festival, which happens in October. It's our 20th year for the festival. Patton Oswalt is our main headliner, and we'll have more information on who's going to be performing in the weeks to come. But there's a lot going on, and the tap is not in a physical space right now, but alive and well in our hearts. And as we know more, I will share more.
Oh, that's great. I didn't realize. Okay. That's fantastic. Are you jaded? You gotta be jaded, Greg, owning a comedy club. Do you still, are there comics you watch and roll your eyes? Are you still just a huge fan? How does that work? I can't imagine owning a comedy club.
I don't think I'm jaded. I think if I was jaded, I would just not even care. I would be one of those comics. We all know them who are just like, I don't laugh anymore.
Right.
I don't laugh, you know.
Like they're proud of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I've heard all the jokes. No, no, you haven't. You just don't like to laugh. That's another problem. Talk to a therapist. I don't know. But no, I don't think I'm jaded. I have my nights where I don't want to, like, you know, be in comedy's gaze because I'm just like, I'm just not feeling it. But I still marvel at the fact that, you know, I have the ability to watch comedy all the time. I get to see these amazing comedians who travel all over the world, have been on television, been in movies. And, you know, here I am sitting in the back of the room and enjoying the night. And it's not lost upon me the awesomeness that can be, that can, you know, it's that the gratitude I have for it is still there. That's very much great. And the jadedness, I think I'd probably just get jaded when I see bad comedy trying to be edgy or think it's smart in the newer, you know, right. Some of these comics who are like trying to tell, like, I just tell edgy jokes, or I just say whatever I feel. I'm like, yeah, but everything you say sucks. So right. I wouldn't be proud.
It's not the audience. Yeah, right.
No, it's not. Yeah. Yeah. It's the audience sucks. I'm like, I don't know. I think some of your premises, notice I didn't say jokes. Right. Some of your premises are terrible. So yeah. Yeah,
that's funny. Who are your favorites, Greg? Who do you like locally and nationally? Who gets you excited when you watch comedy?
You know, Patton Oswalt is still the top of the mountain for me. He's the guy who is the one that made me feel like I could do comedy. He's, you know, his brand of storytelling, observational humor, you know, and his growth as a human, not just on stage, but as a person, you know, He in my opinion, has grown and realized who he is and accepts the world as it changes. And I think that's important for a lot of young comics to do, because, you know, there's a lot of comedians out there, older, especially older dudes, who are like, I talk about whatever I want and I don't care. It's like, yeah, but you sound like an old man yelling at the clouds now.
Yeah.
So, as far as newer comedians, actually, there, if you can tonight or check it out tomorrow, Olivia Carter is a wonderful comedian who's making, I've worked with her many times. She's making her Tonight Show debut this evening on the show. Nice. So you probably catch it tomorrow on YouTube, but she is very, very funny. Her ascent and her evolution as a performer has been fantastic. My buddy Evan Hall in Chicago is just phenomenal. He is so, so funny. And, you know, it's just, there are so many great comedians out there, and it's a double-edged sword, because there are so many more places to perform now. There's so many new ways to be seen, but that means you got to work even harder to distinguish yourself from everyone else. And, you know, it's not like the old days where it's like the city has one club. We're going to go see three comics. Those three comics are going to go on the road. And then three comics, it's like you have YouTube, you have TikTok, you have Instagram, you have the club, you have DIY shows, and there, I mean, there's very much a great variety of comics saying wonderful things,
right?
And I guess half the fun is finding them. But yeah, it's, I could go on and on. I mean, there's so many other comics out there, but those are the ones that are just popping into my head. Right? I mean, Dana Ehrman from Milwaukee, she is phenomenal. Oh, I think she's been on your show, hasn't she?
She has. She's great. Yeah, we got to get her back, Conrad.
And our buddy Kristen Lighty. Kristen Lighty is,
love her.
Good Lord, just absolutely amazing.
My guest is Greg Bach. He is the co-host of Matt and Air on Air that you can hear from 10 to noon every day, every weekday here on Civic Media.
9 to 11.
Oh, I'm sorry, 9 to 11. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's interesting you said that about Patton Oswalt. I'm just going to be honest. When I remember going up at a club called Largo in L.A. a few times.
Yeah.
And it was a weird thing, because it was kind of a club, but kind of not. I never totally felt comfortable there. But Patton Oswalt was still on the rise in his career. People, it was like worship, Greg, to the point where I couldn't look at him objectively as a comic. Like, he would walk up on stage and say, Matt Damon, and people would laugh. And I'm like, he hasn't said anything yet. But that's where he was still ascending, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. But I totally agree with you. When I hear him talk now, I'm like, this guy has evolved. He's one of the best ever.
Yeah. He, you know, it's interesting you say that, because I listened to an interview with him once, and he spoke to that fact that when you reach a certain platform, when you reach a certain, you know, height in comedy, I'll just use that. I mean, it can be really any performance art, but in comedy, you have to take in consideration. I'm paraphrasing. He has to take into consideration that because of the name and the brand recognition, He wonders, how much are they laughing at me and the jokes I'm telling, versus are they laughing because I'm Patton Oswalt? And I think that sort of reflection and inner, like, you know, that realization can really inform what you talk about, because it would be easy to stand up on stage and just say sentences and bloviate and basically do a lecture, a TED talk, not naming any names again. And, yeah. And people think you are the bee's knees, the absolute greatest ever. And you haven't said anything funny. So I think that's, I guarantee you that night you saw him, I wouldn't be surprised if he had that thought of like, it was like, yeah, you know, the adulation is wonderful. We love the claps. Right. We love the laughter, but you have to wonder how good are you? And are you at risk of resting on your laurels?
Right. And he never did. And what I thought was impressive was, like, you know, in his mind, he had to say, look, I worked hard. He always had new stuff. And I'm like, mm-hmm. let him get to the jokes. Like, you're supposed to be savvy comedy fans. Let the guy talk. It's like, I remember working with Bill Hicks years and years ago, and people started shouting out the bits they wanted him to do. And he finally said, will you all shut up? I'm not an effing jukebox. thought, oh my God. Yeah. I can't believe you talked to the crowd like that, but it worked. And he's right. Let the guy, it's mm-hmm. an art. Let him talk. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely 1000% agree.
Greg, what are you watching? Have you seen any good movies? Are you binge watching anything you could share with us?
Well, I mean, I saw both the Superman film, the new one, and I saw the new Fantastic Four movies. I thoroughly enjoyed them. I really, really liked them. I'm a comic book movie fan, and I'm not so delusional that I can't tell you when one isn't good or I haven't enjoyed it, I should say. But I did enjoy the Fantastic Four as well as Superman. As far as TV shows, I just watched two wonderful British detective shows on BritBox. One of them called Death Valley with an actor named Timothy Spall, who was in the Harry Potter movies. He played Peter Pettigrew. And then I watched another one called Ludwig, which with David Mitchell, who's one half of Mitchell and Webb, which is a famous comedy duo out of England. And that's another, you know, they're both detective shows, and they're cool takes on the detective trope of TV shows and procedurals. I mean, those two shows and Deli Boys on Hulu. Those are three shows that I literally sat down and just watched, just nice. Absolutely just power watched and finished their first seasons. And Pete, I think you'll enjoy this. On Saturdays, one of the things my wife and I do is after we do our errands and we get ourselves home for the Saturday afternoon, we usually binge watch the 80s show Simon and Simon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I have forgot about that show.
Oh,
nice pull. So,
yeah, it is. I have that theme song is an iconic theme song in my head. And I looked for it and I found it on I think the Roku channel. And I was like, let's watch an episode. Well, 2.5 seasons in, we're like, it's Saturday.
Oh, that's
we
got to
watch Simon. And we got to watch Rick and AJ. Rick and AJ got to solve a crime.
Greg, we have about, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say that's a great fun show. And it's I wouldn't mind seeing a reboot of that one.
That's great. That's a show I just totally forgot about. And every once in a while you hear about that and they're so worth a revisit. And whether it's for nostalgic purposes or because they're really well done shows and they hold up. I was going to ask you if you could do this in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, give me something great about Milwaukee that people don't know about, like Summerfest, the Brewers, whatever. Give me an awesome thing about Milwaukee.
Atwood Park and Beach. It's a little bit north of the city, a little bit north of above UWM. It is a beautiful, beautiful spot. There's a little park. There's a beach down some steps. And on a clear, beautiful, warm day, if you're down there, you feel like you're in a tropical island.
Conrad is agreeing and shaking and bobbing his head. That's so great. Thank you, buddy. Always fun, Greg.
Thank you very much.
Have a great night.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate
you both.
Anytime. All right. That's Greg Bach. Check out Matt and Aaron Air from 9 to 11 every day here on the network. Every weekday, that is. We're coming right back to read a whole bunch of texts, folks, so don't go anywhere. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Americans really like voting by mail and in-person early voting. That, according to 2024 statistics from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. According to EAC, 158,211,780 citizens voted out of 211,144,275 active registered voters, a 74.8% turnout, 3 points lower than 2020. Among the 158 million voters, 52.8 million voted in person on Election Day. But far more Americans voted early, with 46.8 million voting early by mail and almost 48.9 million voting early in person. Mail-in voting accounted for 30.3% of votes cast, with some states offering universal mail balloting or permanent mail or absentee lists. Over 15 million ballots were returned via drop boxes in 36 states, up 10% since 2022. The percentage of in-person Election Day voters dropped in 2024 to only 37.4%, while in-person early voting jumped to 35.2%. The combination of mail and early in-person totaled 65.5%. It's clear that early voting is here to stay. We've linked to the report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Conrad Krieger working the board. Great to have you with me tonight. We are in the home stretch here. I'd like to thank my guests, Greg Bach and Jimmy Cuska. It's been a Civic Media All-Star show, and my Civic Media brethren always deliver. You know, Dan Schaefer is on Greg and Jane's show often, and he is coming on in 2 weeks to talk about The Wire. We're finally doing that. Possibly the greatest TV show ever. A lot of critics say it is The Wire. Dan loves it. I love it. I'm really looking forward to that. That's probably going to be August 12th, I think we decided on, but we'll have more information. So let's get through some texts here, Con. Where do we leave off? We got, I like this one, Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, I don't care for alphabet soup. I can't get a word in edgewise. That's, I'm embarrassed. I'm laughing at that. Thank you, Tyler. Awesome stuff. Everett from Sun Prairie says, also, how do you chew? Oh, wait, sorry. Everett has a two-parter. Like our question tonight. He says, hey, folks, first of all, there's nothing wrong with Conrad. Some people are just, wait, I already read that, didn't
yes.
I?
Yes, you did.
Did I read his second text?
No, I don't think
that's
the
what happens yeah. when I jump all over the place like this. I read Anna's. Okay, here we go. Everett from Sun Prairie says, also, how do you choose a favorite Arnie flick? Predator, Terminator 1 and 2, Running Man, Total Recall, True Lies, the list goes on. All great
Jingle
fun.
All the Way. Where is that?
Jingle All the Way. Dave on the stream said, Kindergarten Cop. That's another, ooh, you gotta, that's a snooze fest. And then let's go to Annie from Watertown. Beef noodle is her least favorite soup. I don't even know if I've heard of that.
Beef noodle soup?
Beef noodle soup? You said needle. Beef needle soup? That sounds even worse.
No, that's tasty.
Jim from Appleton says, what's wrong with the K-Man? Absolutely nothing. My worst soup? Add me to the list of split pea soup haters. Does anyone remember the movie Roadie? It was an all-behind-the-scenes movie about setting up for bands and other shows. I don't remember that. I remember a show like that, but I don't remember what it was called. Thank you, Jim. Steady Eddie says, Pete and Conrad, clickbait headline soon to be seen on Conrad's new YouTube food channel. Conrad declares war on soup, but not broccoli cheese. And why he says you should hate soup too, Steady Eddie. Steady Eddie adds a postscript and says, I don't eat much soup these days. Usually it's very high in sodium. As a kid, I loved Lipton chicken noodle soup, but refused to eat vegetable soup. A lot of puke emoji. The puke emojis even gross me
out. That's what PS stands for?
Yep, it's a postscript. Why are you giggling? Like you just heard something dirty.
I don't know why I never thought it meant postscript.
What do you think, people are just putting two letters together randomly?
Please, sincere. No, I'm just...
Please, seriously, I have something else to add. You know, that kind of makes sense. I think we're onto something there. John from the 608, he's in Madison, says, Conrad, my friend, I can eat anything except for peas. Saw a film about bird nest soup. OMG, it's mostly bird spit. That's the only bad soup I am aware of so far. Is that really a thing? Are you really eating bird spit?
That sounds tasty to me.
Of course it does, because you hate the normal stuff. John says, I love this exchange. John had some trouble with his keys. Ever had Rider water soup? Fair question. Then he says, he meant Werner water. He corrected himself, but he didn't mean that either. I think he said Wiener water. Remember when we were talking about the hot dog soup or the hot dog water?
Hot dog water from 7-Eleven last year?
Yeah, from 7-Eleven, but it was a hoax. Hang in there, John. I have fat thumbs, too. I have trouble texting sometimes. Tyler from Wisconsin. Sorry, Conrad. I got my alphabets mixed up. Boy, these texts are all over the place.
And he's talking about because he called me Kelvin before.
Right. No, and he probably did that over a bowl of nice hot soup that you would have hated. Everett from Sun Prairie says, to clarify, this is interesting. And these might have gotten mixed up, too, Conrad, because he already texted us. All right. Everett from Sun Prairie says, to clarify, a hot well is the hot holding solution for soups at many restaurants. A well of hot water with a bain-marie, which he says is basically a metal bucket with a lid. The soup sits at temp until it is empty or it gets dumped. Usually from a bag that came frozen, the soup sits and gets nastier and nastier, having started from a low bar already. Coincidentally, I am having a lovely black bean soup with tortillas, vegetables, chicken, cheese, and Valentina extra hot right now, a dollop of sour cream to boot. All right, that was well done. Thank you, Everett, from the 262. That was awesome. And our pal Tony the Trucker says, Pete, Campbell's chicken noodle is disgusting. It's the texture of the noodle. Yeah, that is true. He says FCC regulations won't let me tell what they remind me of. You could text it, Tony. I'm the one. The pressure's on me. I can't read it. But you've put that image. I can't believe that's the last text, and I have that disgusting noodle. No, here we go. Melissa from Willie Street getting in under the wire from the 608. He says, hi, Pete. Please tell my husband, John, to stop drunk texting. That's right. Melissa and John are married. I forgot about that because he called her his old lady last week. Remember that? All right, Melissa, you hang in there. We'll talk to Greg. We'll do an intervention. Drunk texting never hurt anybody, right? We got a great show tomorrow. As I mentioned, it's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr will be here. She is our Wisconsin music expert who always brings outstanding local bands with her and performers. And also Spencer Young, a local artist, designer. What's his company called?
Well, Forever Young Designs. He Forever does Young. All the Packer fences. He paints
the murals.
All those.
Yeah.
And recently he was actually just on ESPN and he did an interview on there. So that's pretty cool.
It's very cool. And he painted it with a football. As I understand it.
On Mino and the Mayor, when he was on it, he did a Don Hudson. He did a painting with a football.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And he has agreed to paint a couch potato tomorrow.
With a potato?
I don't know how he's... Listen, he's an artist. I'm going to leave it open to interpretation, but based on his work that I've seen, He will not disappoint. So that'll be another fun night of Nightlight tomorrow, folks. Thank you for all your texts and being part of the show. That always makes it so much more fun. Everybody, have a great night. We'll be back tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Just hours before new tariffs were set to kick in, President Trump unveiled another set on products from many countries not covered in the pre-existing agreement. Ryan Margaris, a trade advisor in the first Trump administration.
The approach so far has been to shock our trading partners into coming to the negotiating table through the threat of tariffs. You know, it's been successful at bringing many of our trading partners to the negotiating table. I think we need to see from here where this goes.
Massive floodings led to tragedy in the Northeast, where a 13-year-old boy died when he was sucked into a sewage drain pipe in Maryland. Chadwick Colson lives nearby.
It's a tragedy. There's some mother and some father and don't have a kid.
Kerr County, Texas Emergency Management Coordinator William Thomas says he was sick and asleep when floodwaters rose July 4th, killing more than 100 people in the county.
There was no visible flooding on my drive into the office, but it quickly became clear that the situation was escalating.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.